Please stand and get a hymn book and turn to hymn number three. Church and just knowing how to pray for them and creating that friendship.
somebody to go get coffee or lunch with, or, you know, just to get to know them a little bit better. And it's just a good avenue to do that. It's also a good avenue for maybe some of the older ladies get to know some of the younger ladies. And, you know, after they get started, maybe the guys will get together and do one. And we'll go over there the same way, just an opportunity to get together. I know on Monday night, anybody's invited to the Bible study on Monday night. Sean's going to lead that the next couple of Monday nights. And it's an open Bible study. It's, you know, just getting in the Word, going over verse by verse, just like we do on Wednesday night. You know, some good topics come up, and just being able to talk through the Bible. And the way we do that is just the raw Bible, and just put the thoughts out there. And it helps in your own Bible reading, your own Bible study. Betty texted me again today about her husband. He said that he's starting to feel a little bit better today. Still keep praying for him. I was going to go down there, but the doctor said didn't think it was a good idea. So, but you just keep praying for Rick and reach out to Betty. Let them know that we're doing that. Remember Robbie in prayer. We want to keep him in mind. And also for this trip. So I leave out tomorrow at 2:00 in the morning. That might be, Sunday gets up early and pray, but that might be a little early to text the nurse saying, hey, pray for me. So my journey goes from there. I fly out of Knoxville at 5:45. I go to D.C., and then I leave at D.C. at 11. Well, then when you get on that airplane, that's your family for the next 15, 16 hours. You know, I'll eat three meals on that airplane, and the Ethiopian food, eat the chicken three times in a row now. It's a little rough. So that's your family for the night. It's kind of odd. I mean, there'll be somebody next to you don't even know going, they stretch out. I even had them lean on my shoulder. You're like, hey, what are you doing? So we'll do that. And I get to Addis Ababa. I got a couple hours laying over there. Then I land in Lusaka this time. I normally fly in Dola. So I have some paperwork to do there. That's why I flew out ahead of time. Kevin and Pastor Jim and Danny fly out on Tuesday. And they're going here to Chicago out. So they're taking a little bit of a longer route. Then they're going to meet me there. Then we're going to, and on Thursday morning, we get on a little Cessna and fly up to Lake Tanganyika. Then we get off of that. And the boat picks us up. We go two and a half hours on that. So we've got a lot of logistics. You just pray for all of that. Pray for customs and things like that. Brian is going to meet me up at the lake. We're going to go dedicate a couple of churches and then look at the next church plant where that's going to go up by the Congo. We'll get back on the little plane, fly to our bush base, where we live, and spend 3 days there, and get back on the bush plane, fly back to the Saga, and then go home. So there's not going to be any grass growing, but if you guys just pray for that trip, and I'm looking forward to going over there and loving on those guys for you. They're doing a good job, I'm excited for what God's doing over there. The orphanage has come along. They just put a cement block wall all the way around. It's going to be the new orphanage, and that's all up. And soon they'll be working on a couple new houses. So, next year, I'll be going four times. Emily's going to go over there for a whole year. And anytime any of you guys want to join, man, just let me know. I'm always looking for somebody, so I don't have to do it by myself. So, open invitation. That's all the announcements I have. Turn around.
All right, if you please stand again. Turn to page 49. And for Brother Dickens, we come forward to receive the offering.
I have felt His grace. Had another song I was singing in my head, and I still got it in my
head.
Did I ever do that? Get a song in your head, you can't get it out. But if I start off with another song, this is where I'll stop and be back to another place.
So I was sitting here this morning, and I remember when I felt like God was calling me to preach. Of course, immediately you feel completely inadequate to do so, because you know, when you get called to preach, you still have to live in the same body everybody else lives in, right? You think, how am I going to pull this off? But I've enjoyed watching God work in Jake's heart. I enjoy having him sit by me. You know, and just watch him begin to give him the same burden that I have. Now, where he'll end up, only God knows that, right? But he started the journey. And once you start it, you don't quit. I mean, that'll be in him. You know, God's called you. And, you know, I know what it's like to sit and listen to somebody else preach and God give you a message. And so I just felt like God was leading me to ask him to preach tonight, And I appreciate this young man. I appreciate his heart for the Lord. And just a little bit that I've known, and Jake, I'm proud of you. There's a lot to do out there. We could use, the ministry could use 100 Jakes, and it wouldn't be enough. Could use 1,000 of them. I mean, you know, and I'm also thankful for the men that cover for me, for Sean and Jordan. I just thank them for being able to handle the pulpit, and they love you guys and care about you. I mean, we're blessed to be able to have a little bit of depth there. Some churches don't have that, and I'm glad while I'm gone that it's in good hands, and I just thank the Lord for that. People looking forward to hearing you preach tonight.
Do what you would have me do, Lord. Just put your hand upon me, feel like your spirit here tonight, just be with us. Lord, I pray that anyone here that doesn't know you in the free part of sin, something will be set or done tonight that will lead them to you, Lord. Be with us, lead God, direct us, I pray. In your holy and blessed name, amen. So we're going to be in really two places tonight. And the first place I want to know, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 16. And kind of the thought I have here tonight is, I guess I'm going to start off with a little bit to kind of lead into it. But when I was here last time, when I preached here last time, you know, I talked about, you know, kind of the shortness of time that we have on our hands. And I kind of want to take that, kind of run with it a little bit here, because I do believe that everybody here, you know, has a set amount of time on this earth. But if the Lord comes back, when we die, we're going to be here for only a certain amount of time. So I think it's important for us to realize that. And it's important for us to take that time that we have and use that as appropriately as possible. And that's what this first passage that we're going to look at is talking about here. So, looking at Luke chapter 16, in verse 1, in verse 1 it says, "And he said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward." Real quick here, looking at verse 2, when he says, again, it says, "Give an account of thy stewardship." When we get to heaven and we meet God face to face, he is going to ask us to give an account of what we did with our life. And we're going to be judged according to that. So with that in mind, I think it's important for us to realize how important what we do down here is. Because, of course, I could very easily get saved, and I could very easily live a life of sin, and I would still go to heaven, but I am going to have to answer for that. So I would rather be able to, when I get to heaven, be able to look at God and hear him say, you know, you did a good job, because I lived my life to the best of my ability for him. You know, you could say that I was a just steward for what he gave me while I was on this earth. Continuing in verse 3, it said, "Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? My Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I put out the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So now the steward here, he is being faced with the situation of he's losing his stewardship, he's losing his source of income, so he's pretty worked. So what he's doing is he's trying to devise a plan. You know, he's trying to devise a way that when he does lose his job, he's going to have like a place to fall back onto. And what I see this as is he is basically not taking responsibility for his own actions. You know, he's trying to work around the responsibility that he's supposed to be taking when he loses his job here. And I always have to think, I wonder if we kind of do the same thing. Do we ever try to stray away from the responsibility that God has given us as Christians on this earth? Do we ever try to work around, you know, doing works for him, or work around living for him because it's too hard or it's too inconvenient? I mean, how often do we try to make a plan that doesn't include God, and then when we have to face the consequences for it, we try to make excuses or try to rationalize why we are sinning or why we are acting the way we do. And that's exactly what we're seeing this steward right here doing, is he is rationalizing his sin and finding a way to, you know, work around what he's done and to make it seem okay. And, you know, this right here is a perfect example of the world, because we see that in the world today. And that's why it's so dangerous for us to be in the world, because in the world's eyes, rationalization of sin is normal. You know?
Right.
And the lack of responsibility for your sins is normal. Mm-hmm. And I think a very perfect example of that is how hard people are pushing for abortions today. Because I like to do research of things I don't agree with, because I like to know, you know, what the other side believes. And when you look at abortion, some of the things that people believe are, you know, maybe someone has been sexually abused, you know, they want to get an abortion. Maybe someone has, you know, been put in a place where they didn't want to take place in those actions, and they don't want to have an abortion. But when you look at the numbers, the number one reason people have abortions is because they just didn't want the child. You know, and you see people have multiple abortions, and the only thing that they're doing is they want to go and they want to live that sinful life, and they don't want to have to take responsibility for it. You know, because, I mean, how do you avoid having an unwanted pregnancy? Well, it's simple. You just stay away from that lifestyle. And that's exactly what we see in the world today, and what we as Christians have to try so hardly to avoid. Because we've got to realize that we can avoid the responsibility here on earth, but we will have to answer for what we do in heaven. And when I get to the throne of God and I'm trying to explain my life to him, I don't want to have to deal with the pain and the sorrow as I explain to him the things that I didn't do for him. Because he has provided me with so many opportunities, and all I got to do is take them.
Amen.
Continue in verse 5, he said, "So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in a generation wiser than the children of the light." So this little passage of scripture here kind of honestly confused me for a little bit when I first started studying it. Because when you see in verse 8, it says the Lord commended the steward for his wise actions. So what the steward did was, you know, he hadn't lost all of his power as the steward of the Lord. So he was able to go to the people that owed his Lord money and basically just cut their debt in half. And by doing that, he allowed himself a place to stay, a place to live, to keep him up when he lost his job. It was kind of like, you know, you do this for me, and I'll do this for you. And so he basically, you know, further stole. So in his lack of responsibility, he sinned further. But by doing that, the Lord commended him or congratulated him for that. And I couldn't really understand it, and, you know, the Lord, through more studying and prayer, revealed that to me. The reason he commended it is because, I mean, in all honesty, what he did was kind of a smart move from the worldly point of view. And the world loves to congratulate people for living like men, for like backwards dealings, you know. You see so often how often we'll put people on a pedestal, whether it be politicians or whether it be athletes or singers or whoever, and the way that they've made their money or the way that they've got to the positions they've got or by backwards dealings or sinful living, the world just relishes in that today. And so they're so often just ready to congratulate a person just for making it to the top and not looking at how they made it, you know. And that's why the Lord was commending him. And at the bottom of verse 8, it says that the generation of darkness, this generation of darkness is wiser than the generation of light, because people who are living in the world and who are living in sin are always looking for a way to not make themselves feel bad about it. You know, nobody wants to feel bad for what they've done. So they're always finding a way to make things in their eyes better, and to blot out the influence of God, because when they have the influence of God, which should be on us, to make us feel guilty when we sin, and to not feel that guilt, we're going to find ways around it. And, you know, and even this Lord here, who was also a sinner, you know, because, I mean, I'm not trying to get off topic, but most parables we see represent, you know, Christ as the Lord, the Master, and the here we see this Lord commending wrongdoing. So this is kind of a distinction we see in this passage, where this parable doesn't necessarily represent Christ, it just represents a Lord because he commends a wrongdoing. So it's like kind of the same thing, like the world will commend us for doing wrong. That's why it's so important for us to make sure that we're living in Christ, because the world isn't going to knock us out for, or kind of check us out for doing it. That's why I also think it's so important for us to have good friend groups and good family groups in the church, because we have to have people to check up on us, because your worldly friends aren't going to do it. And all that kind of comes together and helps us live for Christ and helps us all obtain that singular goal that we have, that's being a just steward of what the Lord has provided us here. Going into verse 9, it says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends in mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations." So kind of what we're seeing here is that in this parable, Christ is saying, you know, go ahead, you know, be friends to the world. You know, let the world hold you up. You know, make a truce with them. Deal with them. Do what they want you to do. Because when you fall, they'll hold you up. Because we know the thing about the world is that they really truly only care about themselves. And oftentimes, you see it so oftentimes that they're only friends with you when you benefit them. So when you do fall, they're just going to forget about you. The thing about Christ is he loves us so much that in our hard times, in our times of failure, he's right there to pick us back up.
Amen.
And that's just another reason why we should just want to live for him, because he is always there for us. And this world has nothing for us but pain and sorrow. And that pain and sorrow will come, and when it does come, there's going to be nobody there for you. But if you put your faith and trust in Christ and you live for Christ, he will always be there to pick you up even in your hardest times.
Amen.
Verse 10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." I want to focus on the bottom of verse 10 there, where it says that he is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. We're given here on this earth, we're all given something that we ought to do, right? And what it's saying is, basically, if I'm going to give you something and you're unjust in least, why would you be unjust in much? And kind of going on, we'll go ahead and read verse 11. It says, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit unto you the true riches?" So what it's saying is, if you can't be faithful in what you have been given here, why would God reward you in heaven? Because, you know, we're tasked with doing what we're supposed to do, you know, using what we were given by God here in the unrighteous mammon, you know, the things of this world. So why would God give us more when we go to heaven? Why would he reward us for unjust use of the stuff that we have here? That's why we are expected to use what we have been given here justly for him, so then he can, you know, rationalize and give us a reward when we get to him.
Amen.
Verse 11 says, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" And this is kind of the same thing. You know, everything we have here on earth is given to us by God. Everything has been provided to us by God. So it's important that we use that with respect to God. You know, even like your job and your house and your home, the money you make, you know, the opportunities you have, all that is given to you by God. And if we don't use that in respect to him, then we can't expect rewards. Like, why would he get, like, let us, basically everything we have here, we're borrowing. So why would he, you know, when he gives us stuff to borrow, and we don't use it correctly, why would he give us something of our own in eternity? We can't take care of the lesser things down here. I want to keep rolling with this thought, but I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 25. This is a very familiar passage of scripture here. We're going to start looking in verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods." Right off the bat, I like this verse because it explains to us kind of exactly what we're seeing now. You know, Christ has given us some things to do and things to use while he is away. And he's coming back, and when he comes back, he's going to expect us to present those back to him and show us how to use them.
Verse 15, it says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. What I see in verse 15 here is it says that everybody has something that can be used for the honor and glory of God. There's nobody in this room that does not have something that they can't use for him. And it's important for us to realize that, and for us to realize that we need to use that for him. You know, if you don't know what you have, then you probably need to get a little bit more prayerful about it, get a little bit closer to God so he can reveal that to you. Because everybody here has something, and it's important for us to find that something and then use it for him. Because we're going to be expected to answer for that when we do get to heaven.
Amen.
Verse 16 says, then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. So what I see here is, you know, these 2 people that received the 5 and the 2 talents, they went out to the world and they used their talents, you know. And by using those talents, they were able to gain more. And basically what I see here is they were like basically spreading the influence of God with these talents. They were going out and, you know, maybe some people were meant to preach, or maybe through your singing, or maybe through your tithing, but through doing the Lord's work, you're able to spread the influence of God to the world. And hopefully you can see people saved. When you see someone saved, they'll just spread their influence and then their influence, you know. And that's why it's so important for us to make sure that we're living and working for God, because we can take what we have and we can spread it. And then when someone else gets saved, they're able to obtain their talent. And then when they take their talent, then they can go and get somebody else saved.
Amen.
So it's just like a big kind of spider web effect, as we see, as people just spreading out. And if everybody would just use their talent the way that they're supposed to, then, I mean, imagine how quickly we could just cover the world with this gospel, and how quickly we could just spread God's word and his influence and take back what we've lost as the world's closed in around us. We see here in verse 18, though, it says, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his glory's money. I wonder how often some of us, you know, have a talent that we have, and we know we have it, we know we can use it, but we suppress it. You know, the world so often is on our back, and so often we'll attack what we would like to use for God. You know, if you can sing, or you can get up and speak, you know, but you might be told that you're not good enough, or you might be scared of what people around you would say. That's nothing more than Satan just trying to take a young Christian, or even an old Christian, like Tracy over there. But, you know, taking somebody and trying to suppress what you would do for them. And it's so important for us to just not worry about what the world standards are, what the world would say about us, because I promise you, if you tell a young person like my age that you're a preacher, you really do get some weird looks. You know, like that's probably not any fun, you know? I mean, that's all right, because, like, I'm not worried about what this world thinks. It took me a little while to figure that out, but the idea that the world has of me doesn't matter to me, because I'm not going to care what my buddy in class cared about me when I'm standing in front of God, you know, and answering for what I've done on this earth. So it's important that if you have a talent and you know you have it, we're trying to find the talent, when you get it, so you just take it and you use it for every chance you get. You know, I was talking to Kristen before I came here, she goes, why did Dave ask you so late to preach this morning? Because Dave asked me in Sunday school. And I said, I don't know, he just had to. But I said, I have to use it, you know. Right here was an opportunity I had to preach again. And even though I wasn't expecting it, I've got to take every opportunity I get, because this is how I serve God.
Amen.
And so when you're given an opportunity to serve God, you can't turn it down, no matter how far easy it may seem. You know, oftentimes you might see somebody out in the street, or you might see somebody in class, and you just get this feeling that you should go talk to them. And I've had the same thing. It's so easy to talk yourself out of it. But I really do think that, one, you talking to them can plant a seed. Even if you embarrass yourself, they're still going to remember that conversation. And I promise that I would rather embarrass myself here than have to feel the feeling of embarrassment and shame when I'm having to answer why I didn't talk to that person in heaven. You know, why I didn't explain to him? Why didn't I give that person a chance to hear the gospel? Because I don't think we always realize this, but oftentimes, and it's a little bit easier here, when you get out to places where church isn't as important, isn't the biggest part of life, you can be the only Christ that people see.
You can be the only example of Christ in someone's life, and if you don't go and you don't give them that influence that they need, then that might be their only chance. And I don't want to have that held over my head when I get to heaven.
Amen.
I don't want God to look at me and say, why didn't you go talk to him or her? Why didn't you go talk to them? I want to be able to at least say I did my part. That's all we got to do is we got to do our part living for him.
Amen.
Verse 19 says, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with us. And he will come back. It's going to require us to answer what we did with our talents. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto thee 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside thee. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of thy Lord. I kind of want to focus here on the last half of verse 23 when it says, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. This kind of connects, this is where these two passages kind of connect, back when he's looking at Luke chapter 16, when it says, he that was unjust or unfaithful with a few, why would I give him much? And right here we see where he says, you've been faithful with a few things, so I'm going to give you many. He's going to make us rulers over his kingdom. We're going to rule alongside of him if we're faithful with him. And that's why it's so important for us to do that. And that's, it also kind of brings me into the mindset of, well, he says we have a few things to be faithful for, so what is it? And I can really kind of think of really 3 things that we are required to do here on earth. It's to love God with all our heart, our soul, and all our mind. Love our neighbor as our brother, or our brothers, love our neighbors ourselves. And it's God, spread the gospel. And that's really all we're required to do. And our talents will allow us to do that. But in reality, that's really only 3 things. I mean, how many of us only do 3 things in a day? Tracy says he's retired, so he might. But most of us, you know, have to go out and do a lot. So, I mean, so often we forget these 3 little things that we can't even fit them into our day. Because in all reality, as far as the things that we have to do for God, I mean, it's not that much. I mean, it's kind of a small list. So, I mean, and so often we just allow this world to overcome us and overshadow the things of God and just to blot out, you know, what we're supposed to do. And that's why it's so important for us to make sure that every day that we're being prayerful and we're studying our Bible and we're staying as close to him as possible. Because when we let his light shine down on us, you know, it better opens up, you know, ways for us to work from him. And it helps us stay closer to him. It helps us, you know, stay away from the world and really focus on what we're supposed to do here, you know. And that's why we just need to keep working every single day just to live for him and just to make sure that we're working for him. So when we do get to heaven, we can, you know, answer the best we can, and we'll be able to hear, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. We'll be able to get those rewards. Because here on earth, I would much rather, you know, live a life of poverty and live a painful life and know that when I get to heaven, I'm going to have the riches of God, because those are the riches that are tried by fire. Those are the riches that are really going to matter. And I just imagine in my head the opportunity to take that crown and be able to cast that at the feet of Christ as I worship him. And that will overcome anything that I can ever obtain on this earth. And that's why for me, I want to focus so hardly, so passionately on what I'm supposed to do here. So hopefully one day I can put myself in that position. And if it costs sacrifices here on this earth, that's okay. Because at the end of the day, when I get to eternity and get to experience that, it'll all be worth it. Verse 24. Then he which had the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is my thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reapeth where I soweth not, and
have one straw. Thou artest therefore put on the means of the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive my own with usury. So right here, we are supposed to use what God has given us. You know, this servant here, he went and hid his money. And, you know, the Lord says, you know, I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I didn't prepare. I messed that up, but you get what I'm saying. But what he's saying is he can make anything out of nothing.
Right.
And that's why, you know, on our side, we really don't have much to do. Going back, we really don't have much to do. All we have to do is we got to plant that seed, you know. We just got to provide the gospel to people, you know, and use what we have to provide the influence across the people, and he will do the rest, you know. He don't need us to do that much work, you know, because he does it all. All we gotta do is be there and just put that influence out to the world and let him take care of the rest of it. But if we don't, you know, right here it says we're gonna have to be held responsible for it. Verse 28 says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. To him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast yet ye, the unprofitable servant, into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I really still haven't figured out what verse 30 means exactly, but I can tell you that it's not going to be good. You know, once you're saved, you're always saved. But if you don't live for Christ and you just completely ignore, you know, the commission of God, when you get to heaven, you're going to have to answer for it. And I don't imagine that it's going to be pleasant. But like I said, there's really only a couple things that we have to do to work for him and live our life out for him. So if we just do that, we just take every opportunity we get to live for Christ, we can very easily avoid that. And I know the world's a hard place. And I know the world is a destructive place, and they hate our lifestyle, and there are so many ways for us to get in trouble. And it is hard, but the fight is worth it. You know, living for Christ, no matter how hard it is, always going to be worth it in the end. I'm going to go to one more verse. I'm going to flip back to Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Finish off here, I just want to say that we can't juggle life in the world and trying to live for God.
Man.
You can't come here on Sunday, live in the world on Monday, and expect everything to be okay. You know, the influence of this world is so dangerous that even the slightest bit is going to stain what God has given you. You know, it's going to stain your life. And once you have those stains, you know, that's going to follow you around until eternity. And, you know, I've got baggage in all my life, I'm sure most of us do, that every time I go to work for the Lord, the devil just loves to bring that up. You know, because there's been times in my life where I haven't lived for him. I've been living in the world, and it takes away from what I have to give to God. And if you want to truly work, you want to truly live for God, you've got to block out everything that this world has to offer. You've got to, you know, shield yourself from what this world has, because we can't live in it. And then try to live for God. There's no possible way. Because you won't ever think of yourself as hating God, but if you're not living for him, and you're living for the world, it says it right here. You know, and the word is very clear. You hate the one or hate the other. So for us, it'd be better off just to live for God and hate the world, and we'd end up a lot better than we did.
Amen.
That's all the Lord laid on my heart. I want to thank you for the opportunity. As always, just continue praying for me as I transition into, you know, different things in my life. And I think some people are going to join the church, so Brother Adam, come up.
Thank you, Brother Jake. That was great. You know, with Jake, I know his family, and I know the church he was raised up in. So it's really no surprise to hear what he's saying. Appreciate that. All right, this won't take too long, folks. I'm going to call the church to order and open the doors of the church tonight. I think we have some folks that are wanting to join the church. If you'll please come forward and just stand here. Brother Dale and his family. Let me just say while they're coming, Brother Dale is, I believe he's a fine Christian man. I've listened to him on Monday night, Bible study. He has command of the word. I believe he's Ronnie's been in your Sunday school class. His kids have been in our Sunday school class. They've been attending for some time. Brother Dale, I'll just let you tell the church what your desire is.
I just want to say, first of all, thanks to all of you who have made us feel welcome from the day that we've walked in the door. We have felt comfortable and at home, and after these 6 weeks or so, my wife and I talked about it, and we'd like to become members of the body here at your church.
Amen.
All right. Now, are you becoming by letter or your statement of faith? Or
she will. The church I was formerly at was not.
All right. Well, we.
And I've talked to both of them. They both have a salvation testimony. They both been baptized. So we go.
All right. Probably a statement of faith for you, and maybe you would possibly be able to have a letter. If not, we can take it by statement. If that's statement of faith, then okay, let's just go that way then. All right, church, this is your decision. I recommend that we accept Brother Dale and his family into our church. All in favor, remain silent. Any objector may speak and state your objection. All right. At this time, I'd like, I hate to do a dismission prayer because I would like to give the right hand of Christian fellowship.
Well, let's do that. While you got this open, let me take care of one quick matter. I don't mean you guys can stand right here. I'm going to be fat. I saw on a board tonight for Maggie, and I got sawdust in my eye, and it's killing me. You better know I love you. Every time I go out of town, Maggie gives me this do or die list. You know, and I'm in a doghouse if I don't get it. She thinks I'm going to die on this trip, and this is the only song I've ever been done. So I got this rifle saw that. I'm Josetta, and the ladies that did that feeding program has put together God's Soup Kitchen. And I was talking to her about getting a banner to match some t-shirts that also match some cards and a gospel tract that she can hand out. And I told her that as a church, I'd like to have a part in that. I'm not sure what that's going to cost, but Joe said it's not a heavy spender. I mean, Freddie won't let her be. So I'd like to, whatever she needs to do with that, we just cover that as a church to have a part in that. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Make a motion if we did that.
All right. If nobody's opposed, I got one motion. I have another motion.
Second motion.
Second. All right.
I'm second.
Freddie, if you don't, you'll be coming home with me. All right, well, let's go ahead and stand. Brother George, if you would close us in prayer, come up and I really appreciate this brother and his wife and his family. The little guy is named George. What a cool name is that, huh? They've got always a pew full of people back there. Their son, Eric, is